Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light.
And welcome back to Taboo Talks as we continue to explore this month's topic, Divine Union. I'm Heather, and this is Elfina, the host of Taboo Talks and co-founders of Cis Society. Today, we are joined by Tobin Divin, who is a blend of therapist, coach, spiritual teacher, and tantra master. He serves as a powerful catalyst for transformation and embodied awakening in the relational planes and beyond. Welcome, Tobin. We're so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you. So excited to be here, both of you, just beaming your beauty in my direction. And I just feel so honored to be here with you both and love what you're up to. So powerful.
Thank you.
And even just feel it in your intro, just like the way you're just holding it down and going direct into this arena that is so needed on the world, in the world and on the planet right now. It's incredible. So yeah, just super stoked and honored and inspired. I feel all enlivened already.
Thank you. I received that, and it perhaps my inner masculine is coming online in my inner divine union. I'm feeling that, and I appreciate that reflection. You've worked in many fields before, and I just would love to dive in and ask how divine union has come into play with all of these realms that you've walked in, and ultimately what your definition of divine union is.
Well, to me, the whole game, the whole dance, the whole journey we're up to of divine union, it starts within. It starts here and now and in and through your own being and in and through your own connection to this miracle existence we call life. And it's really an inner job first and foremost. And there's so much to it. But it's really an alchemical journey we take of wholeness making and meeting all the aspects of ourselves and the pieces and parts that we've hidden away and the shadows and the, you know, all that scary, vulnerable underbelly of our hearts and beings, and entering into an embrace, an all inviting embrace to every aspect of ourselves, first and foremost, is where it starts. As I see it, and as I support, you know, the people in my sphere to journey in this direction, it's always this inside out job first.
Yeah, I love that so much.
Hearing your description, I'm like, this sounds like cis. Just like embracing, maybe this is our dharma. Like divine union is really connected with our mission. And yeah, like I think that a lot of people can view it as like an outside like relationship, that we like fall into this divine union partnership. And something that came through really quickly in this topic was that it isn't just about a partnership with someone else. It's really about embracing, like you're saying, like all of life and balancing and finding union with the shadow, with the light, you know, with the heavens and with the earth, with the seen and the unseen, and the connections that we have with others. It's just one facet of that union. And also like that we can experience divine union with our work partners, with a stranger. Like, I don't know. I'm curious to hear what your like definition of divine union would be even further as it relates to like work with other people. Cause we have a lot of these catchphrases and keywords in the spiritual relationship community, like twin flames and soulmates and divine union. And I would love to hear you go more into like how you see divine union fitting into this piece of the pie, and yeah, like what, I don't know, like what resonates about that versus these other terms.
Yeah, so the way I look at it, and the way I even like define the word divine means to me, I mean, it means God divine, it means the source, the God force, it means this oneness field that we are dancing as a part of, and that we are integral to, and that is ultimately us. So divine union can only happen when each being has some connection to their divinity. So, and to be in touch with our own divinity means getting underneath, getting beyond, seeing through the veils of what keeps us in a separate kind of consciousness, a me and them. So divine is kind of like I'm in my oneness, I'm in my divinity. So a divine union can only happen when there's apparently separate beings who are in their oneness. Then you have this mysterious, magical power dance called divine union, called whatever you want to call it. I'm very, very careful of these names at this point in my journey. I've seen so many people lock on to these titles, you know, and it can feel so profoundly powerful in the beginning of relationships, and maybe it is twin flames and maybe it is your divine union person. But I find that it's really important not to label it too quickly, not to have a concept of all that stuff overlay the discovery, the dance of discovery and alignment and showing up well for each and every connection we have in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that especially goes for the more powerful the love becomes, the more powerful the lovemaking becomes, the more we have to ground and source ourselves in these ways of being that help optimize that dance into something that can be divine, that can be healthy, that can be uplifting, that can be enhancing and be healing and alchemizing for our entire existence. For us, for the person we're connecting with, and then rippling out into the world at large through that dance we're doing. That's the miracle of, you know, let's call it divine union, or, you know, just tantric interacting or healthy relating, you know, whatever we want to call it. The gift of is that it's such a 3-for-1 deal, or a 20, you know, a million for one deal, because it's like, it's enhancing to each of the people in that dance. It's alchemizing. It's the most powerful, you know, let's just be real. It's the most powerful thing we can pretty much be up to on the planet, or one of them. And it's one of the most challenging, you know, that's what I've seen across the board. People mm-hmm. are like, oh my God, the most powerful. And then, oh my God, you talk to enough people and the most challenging. Yeah. You scratch behind.
I mean, it's like when people, when people get together, what are they talking about? 90% of the time, relationships, you know,
100%.
Like it really 100%. Is just, it's one of the strongest soul curriculums that we move through. And I love so much how you explained your definition of divine and how it's all encompassing. And it's really an inside job initially of connecting, embracing, loving, moving through, facing all of the elements of this human experience within ourselves mm-hmm. in order to really ultimately mm-hmm. meet someone who's in the same frequency as you.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you're, yeah. It's not about you or me. It's like we're in service to the divine. Like this isn't about
exactly.
us. This is about something bigger. Yeah, it was really beautiful.
Exactly. And then also, like, I also don't think there's just like this done deal. We got divine union. We're there. Check it off the list. You know, like divine, I call it like a divine dance. You know, it's an ever unfolding, ever deepening dance of how we show up once we're lucky enough to, you know, find that alignment and open in that magic and start that discovery, healing, love journey. You know, it's an ever unfolding dance of divine unifying. You know, we're unifying ourselves with source. We're unifying ourselves in a healthy way with that apparently other being that actually isn't even separate. And then this whole thing can take on quite a beautiful, elegant, powerful kind of next level quality that, you know, I think we all intuit is possible. We all want that. And like we were saying, when we start to dive in this direction, it's just sort of the trickiest territory on the planet. And so that's where the fun begins. And that's where we're all like, to me, we're like aspiring artists. We're aspiring black belt. It's like if you wanted to be really, really good at an art, a martial art or dancing or, you know, whatever, a musical instrument, you enter into a lifelong devotional stance. It's like a literal devotion to a kind of ever unfolding possibility. And that's how I see the realm of relationship.
There's so much that you've shared that just already is just touching my heart. And it's funny that you say like divine union isn't just something you check off the list, because I remember meeting this couple in Tulum before. I'm in partnership now with what I feel like is a divine union connection. And I was just calling that in at the time. And they were like, oh, like divine union isn't like the end. It's just the beginning of a lifelong initiation into some of the most intense relationship work that you'll ever do. And I remember them saying that. And then, you know, you meet this person and it's like this fairy tale unfolds in the beginning. And it's just like pure euphoria and bliss. And then all of a sudden you're met with certain challenges and initiations. And it takes so much strength, devotion to the relationship, devotion to your own growth and surrender. And like, okay, like there's only so much I can do. And I also have to trust that this is not just a relationship between the two of us, but it almost feels like it's like a contract from God. And that even if I like try to get out of it, then I'm just escaping something that I would inevitably run into in another person, in another relationship. So I might as well do the work with this person because it feels like we're meant to do this work together and we're able to meet and match each other in that depth and in that uncomfortableness. So I would love for you to just share, because you're a relationship therapist, coach, right? You work with lots of other people in more difficult situations and relating. Yeah. And I'd love to go into the shadows of that. Like, what are the biggest shadows, the collective shadows that you've worked with around these couples? And what have you seen are like make or break scenarios in these different relationship patterns?
Mm-hmm. So what you're speaking to is it's across the board. Just I've seen maybe one couple in the, you know, thousands and thousands of couples I've been on the front lines with at this point. And, you know, scratch behind the scenes with, you know, even like some of the most well-known people out there, you just scratch behind the surface and you see that they are hitting into that shadow material, the power of love and intimacy and connection. I call it the plunger of love. It will just, in fact, the better and the more cosmic, the more profound, the more divine, the more soul, amazing magic in the beginning, and the better the sex, then that's the deeper the plunge. That's the more it's gonna like access your shadow material and have it just come up into your face and into the dance you're doing at some point. We pray it's later than sooner, but it's often sooner than later. It's, you know. So it's there. It's just part of the dance. It's part of what we meet. So that can look so unique and so personalized for everyone, but it ultimately comes down to our deepest shadow material. Mostly you can trace it back to our to our childhood at the very least. And often if you have the eyes to see it and the shamanic capacity to access it and heal it and work with it, it goes even beyond that. It's in and through our childhoods and into past lives and all that fun stuff. But yeah, it gets very, very powerful, very challenging, and very deep. And there are some, you know, some common themes, and I could share one or two of those if that's what you're asking. But so one of the main ones I'm seeing these days is a very common theme these days is one or the other of the partners, usually the feminine in the partnership, is being catalyzed in some way in her life through podcasts like this one. You know, you guys are causing massive, amazing ripples in the world. You're activating, you're empowering more, most likely a lot of women in the world are being activated. They're being coming on fire for evolution and for growth. And I think this was here even before, but recent in the last 5-10 years, it's really gone exponential. And so that inspiration, that catalyzation, that readiness to blossom and deepen and open and be on fire for like true ways of being can often bump. It's like, okay, now partner, bring, come, or guy I'm dating, come meet me in that, you know? And so you get this bumping right there. And a lot of people who show up in front of me are in this dance where one person is saying, come on, wake up, get on this path in a real way with me. And the other person, and even if conceptually they're like, okay, great idea, looks good, which they often aren't even that. Sometimes they're like, what the hell is this? You know, and in the masculine on the planet, there's something very, very, very common, even in conscious guys, even in guys who want divine union, who've read all the books, who practice David Data's stuff, who are going to ISTA, you know, you get into this deeper relating dance and you bump into this thing I call the frustration barrier. And this is very common in the masculine. It's like a membrane of defense around really going into the deep underbelly of where their vulnerable wounding is, and meeting that directly and intimately, and you know, in a way that for a lot of feminine beings is more easily accessible, even, but we all have our dance, we all have our invitation in this. I call it a divine design. So in every divine union, there is what I call a divine design. And this is in every relationship, even if you don't call it divine union. If you've fallen in love and you're with somebody more than a couple months, you can bet this divine design exists. And that frustration that you bump into, or those wounding and that pattern and that whatever challenge, frustration thing that starts to come, it's an invitation for both partners to heal and grow and evolve in a way that they would probably not do otherwise if they weren't invited in this miraculously elegant way that can feel hellish when you're bumping into it. But anyway, so the one of those common themes is evolutionary force has hit. I am on fire for it. I want my partner, or this guy I'm dating, or this person I just, you know, I've already been dating. I want them to meet me. And that inspiration meets a kind of oblivious resistance, or outright strong resistance, that for a lot of guys is just an unconscious thickness in their consciousness that they just can't go here. They don't want to. They don't know how to. The more you try to force it, the more resistant they get. So if it's not elegantly invited in a way that a guy can actually meet that frustration barrier really, really, really skillfully and artfully and lovingly, it'll just create more thickness and more of a frustration in that dance. And I see this a lot in my work these days. That's one of the themes. There's a few others I could mention. That's the one that's jumping off the page.
You literally just explained my last relationship so beautifully. And as I was in like the pits of my grief and despair, I was reading this book, Women Who Run with Wolves. And I've shared this with Elfina a couple of times and maybe on the show. There's one particular story in there around Lady Death. And it talks about the feminine archetype and how we carry life and death in our bodies. And you cannot run from Lady Death, right? Like as the feminine force, we're here to serve as a catalyst for awakening. And that means that we are going to poke and provoke your deepest, darkest places within your soul. And we are inviting you to come with us. And it requires an ability to manage your fears and to be able to gracefully and compassionately hold your shadows. And it's a journey that not, I don't want to say it's just about men, but that not many people are ready for, right? I believe like that's why a lot of people are asleep in the collective. It's shifting now, but it's because of this resistance to Lady Death. And she will come. Like you can try to avoid her and go in a different direction, and she'll just be there waiting for you in a different in a different person, in a different relationship, you know, in your boss's face at 100%. Work. It's like there she is. And you said it, you said it so beautifully, and it just brought me back to that. So thank you for sharing your perspective on that.
Yeah, 100%. It's very, very, very common. And I just think something quickened in the world. I know this has been a dance and it's been going on for a long time in different ways, maybe not as like blatant or spiritually oriented or, you know, but this frustration between the masculine and the feminine is pretty age old, but it's coming to a head. There's more forces in the world. There's more inspiration, there's more freedom, there's more empowerment, there's more readiness, there's more like healthy and patience. Like it's time. Like it's like the alarm bell went off for half the people or whatever, 10% of the people, however much, I don't know what it is, I haven't done the studies, but it's, you know, some percentage, they have the alarm bell and they're like, come on everybody, let's go, let's get there. And that Lady Death has awoken in their spirit, and like they know there's no time to waste, and life is important, and relationships matter, and there's this potential that wants to be lived. To me, that's a true flame of our heart and soul. And then the artistry comes in how to align in oneself in a healthy way, such that the magnets are optimized, so you draw the healthiest version of a dance partner in what you're up to. And while you're dancing, aligning yourself with the healthiest ways to invite the up-leveling. That becomes part of the artistry from this side.
Yeah.
With all the guys I'm working with, a lot of the artistry is how to cultivate enough skill, courage, self-love, and capacity to start feeling that they've avoided since they were, you know, 2 years old, and learned countless defense mechanisms for ones that they're not even usually conscious of at all. Just deflect, just do what? Me? I'm already deep. I'm one of the deepest guys around. What are you talking about? I need to go deeper. I'm already, you know, doing, you know, this workshop, and I did ayahuasca last weekend, and what do you mean? You know, and so there's like deflection mechanism is so powerful. And then the inspiration is so powerful. And you get two beings like that, even though they both are signed on for like conscious divine union relating, you're going to often get this friction that gets tricky for a lot of people.
So with something that's coming through as you're explaining this is like this, with the dance, it's like this metaphor of like, if you're dancing on the dance floor and there's a man and a woman, but the woman is like really intense and she's like commanding the man to like, come dance with me. And she's like staring at him and like wanting her. Like, I think most of the times, like men might be like, oh, I don't want to dance with that girl. She's like, she's too into it. Like, that's not really an invitation for me. Like, she seems too in her masculine or too needy. And I want to go into this too, because like, I think there's a lot around the anxious and avoidant styles that connects with this. That's being really like inflamed in the collective too to heal. That's but true. It just reminds me of like, what's the best way that a woman who is inspired, who is in her power, who is ready to change the world with her partner, who has the visions, mm-hmm. seeing her partner in his highest and wants mm-hmm. her, wants him to rise with her. Like, what's the best way for her to invite that? What's the best way for her to help him with that? And I'm just thinking about on a dance floor, it's not like pulling him to the dance. It's like inviting him through her feminine essence, through like the lack of words, just through her embodiment, mm-hmm. through her eye gaze, like through her leaning back of like, come join me. Like, that is the invitation that a man wants to dance into versus like, come dance with me. So like, maybe yeah. that can be a metaphor to serve for this like larger question, but I would love to hear more Amen. About how you've seen women successfully invite yeah. their partners to rise with them in a way that they are able to like not be deflective, but to feel their emotions and do the necessary mm-hmm. work that's required to meet the woman where she wants to be met for the collective.
This is like pretty much the exact question I was going to ask Elf, but I was going to ask on a more macro scale. So I just want to invite that into the question as well. Like, just how maybe a woman who isn't in partnership and she just wants to serve, like how can women in general too also compassionately hold space for the masculine and the planet to rise, whether it's their father or their brother or their partner or someone that they're interested in. So just to take that question and also zoom out in it as well.
Yeah, it's a really vitally important question. And the answer to me is it's vital, it's crucial. It's one of the most important questions I think we can ask at this time on the planet in this direction. There's other questions and other invitations, but it's just like, it's so refined what the answer is, because it's kind of like, it's a paradox. It's a very, very paradoxical thing, because whenever I invite the feminine to soften or do exactly what you were just describing, Elfina, like go inward and become more of an invitation, a soft invitation, instead of a harsh demand, that can often bring up, well, then I'm being a doormat. Then I'm surrendering in a way that doesn't invite change in the world, doesn't inspire the up leveling that I'm so on fire for. So this really is an art, and the main invitation, the main prescription, the main direction that I always am inviting is deep inward, to the point where you're coming more from your sourced heart, the place in you that can be sourced in the tenderness in your own heart, the grief in your own heart, the pain and the desire in your own heart, mixed with a kind of timeless, regal essence aspect of yourself, the part that can see, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 1,000 years, million years in all directions. And from that perspective, there's an innocence that starts to take over this whole thing. There still might be a healthy rage there, a healthy and strong desire and healthy frustration, healthy tanks of upset from what one has experienced and what one has witnessed in the world. But to access the tender underbelly of that pocket of grief, pain, anger, upset, combined with that timeless, you know, it's almost like Kuan Yin energy. This place that starts to see innocence and can come from a kind of loving, loving, loving understanding, and somehow mix that with Kali. Kali mm-hmm. without Kuan Yin, it's probably a good stage to go through, but it's not where we want to end up. Mm-hmm. That's just like dragons going around breathing fire. And most men won't respond well to that ultimately. It's just too shocking and jarring because of the conditioning they have will just, it's kind of like a sea anemone, that unfiltered dragon breath will touch the sea anemone of a masculine being's heart. And this can be in any direction. happens in all the directions, but we're just kind of talking about it in the masculine feminine. But unfiltered aggression, trying to get frustration, trying to get inspiration through that flavor will just touch a see an enemy in the guy's frustration barrier soul, and they'll just pull away. So the art is to go so deep within oneself and meet the innocence there, meet the pain, meet the grief, even the anger, such that it can be kind of like channeled, because it's like, it's not, that's not the end product, just to go in and be in oneness and be in receptivity. It can then turn into a really strong bottom line. It can be very strong. These invitations can be strong, but once you can have the ears to hear, the feel for the different, it's literally like a musical instrument that hits a different note. Once you've kind of gone in and met your own pain and met your own, the part of the being that wants to get hijacked into trying to control the world around out of the pain, instead of has the capacity to stay in wholeness and invite the world around to up level. That is a totally different note that gets hit. The second one invites. The second one inspires. The second one catalyzes the world around to move in the direction we all want to go. The first one, even though it's trying to get the world to up level, puts us back into a power struggle.
Well, the thing that I'm immediately like receiving from all these super wise codes that you're sharing is like, it's almost like because of the over patriarchal masculine dominant society that Kali rage in the feminine has responded in the same way of like trying to be as loud, trying to be as assertive and controlling. But really, that's just like, it's not gonna change the problem. It's just gonna add more resistance, like you're saying. So it's like really goes back to divine union. It goes back to women embodying their divine feminine and masculine equally, so that when they're asking for something or inviting something, it can be done in a way that is soft but strong. And I'm like really finding that balance right now, learning like in my past relationship, I was really call-y. I was like, come on, wake up, let's go, like eat healthier, like do these things, meditate with me. Like I was so in my call-y rage, and it like didn't work at all, obviously. And I got super over it and I left the relationship. And now what I'm realizing is like, how can I just like be so strong in, first of all, knowing what I desire, what my values are, what I'm not going to settle for less than, and also what my intuitive heart and my oracular vision is sharing with me, and knowing that that's just my truth. And I'm not sharing it in a way to convince somebody. I'm just sharing it. It's like, this is my truth. This is what I want. This is what I'm deserving of. And I'm saying it in like, not like you have to do this for me way, but this is just, you know, this is just it. And then you kind of like detach, like, okay, this is my truth. And you can like take it or leave it. And then that creates an invitation. And most men, what I'm finding is they like the challenge. They want to rise to meet the challenge, but they don't want to do it in a way that they're feeling forced to do it. They want to do it in a way that it's like, oh, like, okay, how can I like level up so I can continue to fulfill her desires? Because I feel like at the core of every man's heart, like a man wants to provide, they want to fulfill the desires, they want to step up. They have that competitive quality to them. So how do we as women really understand that that's how the man works? And how do we like create the environment to support them in the way that they're biologically operating at versus how we're operating at? Maybe that's something you could also go into, like the differences in men and women in relationships and what each one really needs to feel satisfied, to feel respected. And because I feel like if we understand each other better, then all these relationship dynamics are also going to just be, you know, elevated just effortlessly.
Amen. I love what you're saying. It's so beautiful. And there's a lot of subtlety in what you're saying. And one thing I want to point out is that as you made that kind of like transmutational decision to shift and go inward, not only did you shift how you were then being with that person, when you actually do that work and you take the time and you It's a thing. It's a meeting of oneself. It's a kind of death. It's a transmutation of frustration and anger and actually healthy indignation and a healthy knowing of what you deserve and are ready for into something that has a capacity to not be hijacked by the pain in a way that's automatic. So not only does that then allow you to be the way you just described, what it also does when you've actually done that to a large extent, something inside shifts. So then you draw men who are the way you just described. They're the ones who are like, oh, I want to meet you in that up leveling. It's not just that they want to be challenged. It's like they actually want to evolve too. They, in the heart of every being, ultimately, is that flame, that inspiration. In Buddhism, they call it bodhicitta, and there's different words. And, you know, in Sufi tradition, they talk about the flame of the heart, the flame of the soul that is just on fire to be the most true, the most real, the most whole, the most alive, the most evolved version of ourselves we can be. So that drive is there. And when you do that work, you become a magnet for other beings who are in that, who are on fire for the same depth of work you are. And they're ready to do their work too. So that, I just want to point that out. That's part of the magic of going inward, is not only do we then act differently, we attract differently.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news. It's still tricky territory. This is so,
yeah. Right? It is so true. It is a dance. And it's like, it's one that we're continuously learning, and the song is always changing, and then we're like, oh, I'm getting to a beat
exactly.
now, and it's forever evolving. But 100%. The main thing that I took away, right, the main thing I took away from both of your shares is the differentiation between projecting like a need for growth on your partner and desiring a need for growth. That's something that I felt in my heart, like desiring someone to meet me feels so much softer and heart-centered than like, you're doing this, you need to do this, or I'll leave you, or like, you're wrong, because then it's an attack, right? So the defense walls will naturally come up. But really, like leaning back and saying, actually, like, what do I need right now? What do I desire? And how can I communicate that to the person that I love in my life, where it's an invitation? And I'm not attached, right? They are absolutely sovereign, and they can say no.
Yeah.
But I would love for them to come and dance this dance with
me,
and whatever that looks like.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That's beautifully expressed. That's it. And that's the difference in that musical instrument. And everyone actually on some level is, we're wired up. The first one is like nails on a chalkboard. The second one is like the Pied Piper of love, inviting us to wholeness and union and up-leveling, and even being willing to go to really challenging places in ourselves so that we can do that. And really, that really is the kind of dividing line. You're each pointing to it. And it's sort of like a sovereignty and a healthiness and a maturity that is different than basically. So we were talking about the plunger of love. You get in this divine union and this love, and what can hijack the whole experience of oneself in that point is, now I need this person. I need them. Without them, life doesn't make sense anymore. And it's the child. It's like the inner child in us comes into the dance. And now that person is one or the other of our parents, or a kind of amalgam of both of them. And we believe, that child in us believes wholeheartedly, we need them to change in order to feel whole. And as opposed to our childhood, where we just stuffed down that wound, in a love relationship, now we feel entitled, and even in a healthy way, inspired to tell that person, hey, I need something different in order to dance well with you. And in order to have a healthy, loving, awesome relationship, I need you to be different. But when it's hijacked from that need and that that force and that belief that not only do I deserve it, which you do, see, this is the paradox, you do deserve it. You've always deserved it. And it's right for you to want it. It's right for you to have healthy standards so that you don't accept anything other than that. And yet when you find somebody who's like, oh, they have the potential to be it, and you start to demand it from that energetic, then you've just created more of the planetary frustration you're trying to be free from. You're just now in the mud. Whereas if you can, again, just like you guys are both describing it so beautifully, this artful, innocent, courageous, skillful transmutation into something where there's healthy, empowered sovereignty, and that empowerment can become a strong invitation. It can become a healthy, deep boundary, but it hits a totally different note. It's coming from love, really. Ultimately, yeah. That's self-love. That's love of potential. It's love of wholeness. It can be a very strong invitation, but it's very different. The vibration of that is completely different than the first one. And this is like one of the highest arts for this side of the dance.
Just to piggyback off of what both of you guys are saying, it's like coming back to non-attachment. And like you can share your truth, you can share your heart, you can share your soul with a person without like needing everything from them or like even needing anything from them. Just like, how can we release the expectations we have of people and really point the finger back to ourselves? I feel like that's a huge part of sustaining divine union connection. Is like, if there's something in the relationship that you feel like you need from the other person, most likely it's something that you really just need to give to yourself, and also something, an area that maybe you could actually give more to your partner. And that's like a theme that I've noticed a lot. It's like, oh, I want this from my partner. Well, am I giving this in equal measure? Like, that's the first question I ask myself, because most of the times what I'm asking for is actually a projection of what I feel like I'm lacking, like I'm not doing enough of. And also, you know, let's just say I want my partner to write me a love letter. Well, when was the last time I wrote myself a love letter? When was the last time I wrote a friend a love letter? You know, like, instead of attaching the love to like one person, or like a certain way it needs to come through, I think also like really allowing that desire to be clear and stated, like we can say that desire, and then we can open ourselves up to receiving that in other ways than needing to latch and lock onto it, the love coming through in just this one funneled vision way that we have, that we think we need to receive it from. And when we create that spaciousness, then it allows our partners to actually feel more open and available to give us what we want when we're not expecting it all from them. So that's just been another really like code that's been coming through of like, okay, I want a love letter. Well, I'm going to start off by writing myself a love letter, which I did. And then now I'm going to write my business a love letter and pour some love into her. So then Heather and I wrote our business, the society, a love letter. And then guess what? The next week I receive a love letter in the mail from my partner, and I was not expecting that. So it's just like, it just goes to show that like, really, we have that ability to be that magnet. Like, that's our feminine superpower essence. If there's something we want, give it to ourselves and allow other people and other things to give it to us. And then we just become more of an attraction for what we want. So I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent, but it just feels really important to share. And I would love to hear more about your experience as this relates to the feminine and masculine wounds. And not even feminine and masculine, but just the wounds of like attachment and avoidance style. I think this is like one of the biggest collective relationship wounds that people are working through. And I would love to hear you go more into those and like what you've seen in the relationships that you've been working with, counseling. And if people are in one or the other style, what is your advice in order to move into a place of healthy, what is it called? not avoidant, not anxious, but...
secure.
Yeah, there's like a name for it. Healthy attachment. Secure, thank you. Secure attachment. I think you're muted though, Tobin.
Oh, yeah. Heather, I thought you were about to jump in there. Did you have something you were going to say?
No, Elf just asked what the healthiest form of attachment was, and the space of neutrality.
Oh, gotcha. Attachment.
Yeah. Yes, I just wanted to chime in with that.
Yeah. So really, again, it you're describing it beautifully. So ultimately my experience underneath anxious attachment, underneath avoidant attachment, and underneath any version of attachment is a place in one's being that is so painful and vulnerable and feels the painful imprint of the intimacy wound we have from infancy, from being born on this planet and having our caretakers not know how to hold us and show up for us in a secure and loving and steady and, you know, beautiful way that we're designed to receive when we're young. So underneath it all is just the pain, this incredible deep vulnerability of being cast adrift in the universe. And that is just like one of the most painful things we can feel. Anyone who's been in an anxious seat knows it is one of the deepest. I call it a burn. It just burns. It's just so incredibly sensitive and painful. It's like your whole skin is like a rash of kind of hell, you know. And my experience of the avoidant is that they're just avoiding that feeling. They just don't want to feel that feeling, so they've created a nice layer of stuff on top to just avoid that, just be in the no thank you. If you watch a person's life long enough, even an avoidant, if they feel a divine union, if they feel a powerful, powerful love experience, and they go deep enough, and the other person starts to play the avoidant side, their anxious side will show. It's in there. It's the deepest thing under every style, every attachment style. So the invitation, again, across the board is this heroic, courageous, skillful engagement with our own felt experience and a capacity to source ourselves and to be with that pain and to find ways to hold it, be with it ourselves. You're describing many different ways to do that. But ultimately, it takes that in the present moment, in those moments of burn when our person isn't showing up the way we want them to really feel. Or if we notice we have this avoidant tendency and we keep doing this thing, like that becomes very frustrating after a while. So a person who has enough resolve, enough awareness, enough desire to change, they'll start to look below that for what's really going on. And then they have to confront that place in them that is vulnerable, that is tender, that is basically scared to be so open and so available that they could get hurt. And in fact, it's not even that they could get hurt, it's that they'll reconnect to the place in them that already feels so hurt. That feels so much deep core. We all have this core wound around intimacy, around connection that we're being invited to meet in a healthy, empowered, skillful way. And it's one of the hardest things that I know of to do. But once we learn to cozy up to that, once we learn the arts, there's inner and outer arts. There's like a whole, like I call it lines of defense, you know, lines of artistry. And the most surface ones are make sure you have a whole slew of friends, make sure you keep your connection to everything you love in your life, that you have, you know, whatever it is that keeps you buoyed and sourced in your sovereignty and in your healthy self. So even as you go into a relationship, you want to make sure you're balancing the intimacy and the bliss and the love and the union and the merging and the euphoria and the cave time that you get sucked into for a day or two or five, that you balance that, you counterbalance that with sovereignty, with your connection to life. In fact, I tell everyone a divine relationship, your primary is the divine. your primary relationship is to source, is to life itself. If you can never come off of that, you're one step ahead of the game. Because as soon as you go into this person is my source, that's what's going to get us in all sorts of trouble. It's not to say then I'm not encouraging all you avoidants to be like, yeah, I've had it right the whole time because I've never made a person my source. It's not that. There's a sweet spot here where you're very, very, very devoted to the dance, especially once you've, you know, been blessed enough to find this dance partner where there's a potency to it, a zing, a resonance of meant to be-ness. We call that falling in love. We call that all sorts of things, but you can feel it. And once that's there, we do want to prioritize it. It's worth giving our existence to a certain extent. But as soon as we put that over our devotion to life, to our path, our divine path, our path, our spiritual path, whatever you want to call it, then the trouble begins. So a lot of this has to do with like, my primary relationship is to life, is to the divine, is to my path of wholeness making. And once we kind of have that aligned and organized in a healthy way, find that sweet spot, then this whole thing can start to hum in the ways that you're describing. And that's where we then, okay, I feel my attachment wounding coming up. I'm more anxious. Meet it. We might need a lot of support to do that. This is some of the deepest work there is to do in our lives and in our relationship lives. And if we, oh my God, I keep being avoidant. And you can kind of, a person who's paying enough attention can start to see, that's not just me not being into that person. That's me playing a game. That's me avoiding my main devotion, which is to life, in the version of me avoiding this relationship that life has provided me. And it has a little flavor. Oh, I got to go deeper. I got to look what's underneath that ambivalence. What's underneath that? Like, oh shit, I just checked out for 2 days and didn't text them back. What's that about? And a person who has enough willingness will go deeper and they'll find underneath the same burn that the anxious person is in touch with. It's just a little more hidden. But then that's where our work lies. How do we cozy up to that vulnerable underbelly? How do we cozy up to that burn? How do we alchemize it? So that's the deeper side. And part of it is psychological. It's like, you know, inner child work, all that is really, really invaluable. And that can be all of it for some people. The deeper, deeper invitation I've found is that in and through that very tender underbelly that comes up in intimate relationship is like a portal to our own divine nature. So those things we've been projecting outward that we think we need from outside, that when we get lost in that, you know, that love bubble and all the euphoric bonding that comes, and we are like projecting on the other that is our source, and then we have to somehow meet the place in us that's doing all that, that can actually be a wormhole, a doorway, a portal into knowing our godly nature. Like flavors of our own divine nature can like actually, that becomes the place that we reconnect to the most divine flavors of wholeness, of love, of joy, of goodness, of bliss, of all these qualities of God that we've been cut off from day one. And that's what is in partly fueling all this weirdness in the dance of relationship. But it becomes like this incredible, that's the deepest work I've found, is that you can actually go right in and through and open to those states of challenge in a way that reconnects you to God, to source, but specific qualities of God, you know, the most juicy good ones, like blissful states of union, of fulfillment, of, you know, passionate wholeness that just flows from within and then becomes an overflow into our dance with a person, not necessitated by it. So that's where it really gets good, in my opinion.
It's so deep. I'm like, the moments that I've been triggered the most, where I just start breaking into tears, running off into the forest, I'm like, I'm going to go regulate myself. I'll be fine. But those moments that have been some of like the edgiest, just like most piercing moments for my ego, have literally on the other side, not even, it doesn't even need to be like a day process. It can just be like a 5, 10, 20 minute process. On the other side of that, I'm like, wow, I'm connecting with my inner child right now. I'm connecting to like past life memory. I'm connecting to something so deep. And in that place, it's like the alchemy is so, that's available for those people who are willing to accept, embrace, and meet that parts of them. The alchemy that's available is exponential. It's like years of therapy condensed in like a short relationship. Honestly, I feel like I've been in therapy like just for years in this like short relationship, the levels I've been able to get to. And most of the time, it was just on my own. It was my own triggers, my own stories, my own projections. And I just sit with that and I welcome it in, as painful as it is. And then it leads me to just connecting with like, what is it that I need to give to myself right now? And through that connection, then you, like you said, it's like you literally opening up to source, to God, to euphoria, to whole, because you're opening up to wholeness. It's like feeling that this other person, instead of like feeling like they're giving you wholeness, they're actually triggering you to get to reclaim your own wholeness. And then through that reclaiming of your own wholeness, then when you come together, it's like otherworldly, the love that you can experience when no one's latching on to the other person.
That's it. And it's coming from wholeness. So like one way one of my teachers said it is, we go through it. Love relationship helps us access the whole. And we do this, what you're describing, we go through our own whole into wholeness. And when two people are relating from wholeness, you get so much magic. It's like something planet Earth, it's the only thing on planet Earth that offers this kind of profundity. If you get two people coming from their holes, that's where you get all that weirdness happening, all the drama, all the weirdness that we see. But in the beginning, it feels real good, because it's like you just said, your divine intelligence, this divine design thing, who knows what goes into it a lot, but it's like boop, 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 you know, like a little radar found the person who has the perfect lock and key to reconnect us to our own inner wounding. Ultimately, it's not about them. In the beginning, it feels about them because it's an indicator that this is going to be the invitation to do this deep work, this deep wholeness making work that ultimately is going to be about us going this way. And I love what you said. It can take 5 minutes. And I also want to say for the people listening, it can take 5 hours. It can take 5 days. It can take 5 weeks. It can take 5 years. And in some ways it will, even for the person having that 5 minute experience, we're going to go around and around and keep doing that alchemy, keep creating more and more wholeness making. And for some of us, like you have a very skillful and courageous spirit, Elfina. You're very inspiring and it's beautiful. And I also want to say, not everyone has that. So some people, if you're burning in it and you're not finding the entry point, don't think there's anything wrong with you. Be willing to reach out for support. That's the beauty of the world we're living in now, is there is good support. There are amazing tools and skills and guides. And I found for myself, without a guide, I was spinning, burning, just gone, you know? And so I just want to put a plug in for the humility factor and the personalization of this. And, you know, like in my men's groups, we do this on with the men, and a lot of these guys without that support system would never do it. They just won't. But with this skillful support system, this transmission field of what we just didn't get in our childhoods, we just didn't get it, you know, that creates a holding environment in which we can then have the courage and have the capacity to meet those places in ourselves and have those big shifts. And I'm so blessed, you know, to be on the front lines of that and to be in these camaraderie tribes where we support each other to do that and find, and, you know, literally it's like popcorn. There's like miracles happening across the board in these collective fields. And sometimes we need that, whether it's with one person we find safe or a group. I do find that for men, this group field, the masculine field, for some reason, paradoxically provides it when it's held in this really elegant way, this beautiful way, it provides like, oh my God, I'm safe enough to go where I didn't feel safe enough to go with the woman I was projecting my mom on, you know? So it becomes a really safe and powerful way to have that alchemy occur. It's not the only way. I'm just trying to say to everyone listening, find your way. It might be the forest. It might be your sisters. It might be a therapist. It might be that somatic experience thing. It might be, you know, there's so many. We're so blessed right now. But really the sincerity and that willingness right there in the heat of the moment, that's the dividing line where all of this becomes a very empowering, truly wholeness making dance through life, as opposed to one that just keeps spinning around that burn and it's kind of like compelled out of it and then to it and then spin. And like, that's what a lot of people are doing. But what you're describing is like, boom, in and with, and then ultimately through, and then a whole other dance can start to occur.
The next level opens, and then the next level opens,
and then the next level. And no, it's never ending. Never ending.
But you get stronger every level. You get stronger. You're more connected. You're more trusting, and I feel like it does get easier. Even if the initiations are harder, I feel like it gets easier. Mm-hmm. I will say that. So far, my experience anyway, and I know that we're wrapping up. So I would just love for you to just share in like the next minute or two a little bit more about your offerings and the work that you do.
Thank you. So the two main things I'm up to are this Awakened Brotherhood men's group thing that we offer, and we're about to start a new one in April, on April 11th, and there's a couple spots left. It's filled with like some of the most amazing guys. This particular incarnation of the brotherhood, we're going to be focusing on relationships, intimacy, sacred sexuality, all of this that we're talking about from the angle of really living into that as a man. Like, how do you actually live into that Jedi art of embodying yourself when it comes to life and love in a way that's really, really, really true, really optimal, really high level, all that deep stuff. So that's the main thing I'm up to right now. But I also am always working with couples around the planet, and just work like, I somehow about 7 years ago, I came into this capacity to help couples. And it was literally like, I was astounded. I was blown away by what started to happen. It was like the MRI machine of my being started to work and be able to serve people on the level of the most deep and subtle and the most surfacey stuff to get these breakthroughs and these miracles when they were otherwise kind of spinning in frustration and having challenges. And I get people on the other side of that pretty much daily. It's sort of very, very, very fulfilling work. So, and then of course I work with individuals too. When it's just kind of like, at this point, I'm just kind of, like I said, in relationship with life, and I'm available, and things just kind of flow in this way where my practice, my work is sort of almost one third the groups, one third individuals, and one third couples. And I'm just kind of in a surrendered, open dance with all of that and all the people that show up in front of me, and the blessing of being on the front lines and being on this path with, you know, it's like I'm an aspiring black belt just like everyone else. And the whole idea of everything I do is just to help us all move in this direction of all the stuff we're talking about. All these possibilities, you know, good stuff.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your work on this planet and the deep compassion and vastness of understanding that you have in these spaces. Mm. And yeah, as a, as an ancient attachment. Thank you for speaking into that. It's been a really intense journey for me, and you described it so beautifully. And it's a space that I felt very alone in for a very long time and almost crazy. So yeah, for those of you listening that are moving through this space, just know that you are not alone and that we're with you. And there's always support for you, whether it's within yourself or through a friend or a family member. And it feels really important to speak into, because it can be quite a debilitating space when you're in it and you just don't know the way. And for those of you, desiring to deepen in your way, definitely reach out to Tobin if you feel called to connect with him and further your work in divine union and in compassionate relating. And I'm so grateful to have had this conversation with you today, and that you joined us. And
so grateful.
Yeah, I want to thank
you, Kelvin.
Yeah.
Such an honor.
So
you, yeah, you. I am so grateful. I'm so just impacted by beholding you both and watching what you're up to and the soul and heart you're bringing to it. And the sincerity and devotion, and just the invitation. You're doing the thing we're talking about. You're being that empowered, beautiful invitation that is just up. I mean, I can just feel it. I'm getting a chill that they talked about. You're up leveling the collective in the exact ways we're talking about. This is a living example, and I'm watching it and being a part of it. And I'm just feeling so blessed and so enlivened. So it's like, this is the thing. Like, I feel more inspired to do my work even better now after being around the two of you talking in these ways.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor to serve beside Alfina and to continue expanding this global movement that really is so near and dear to our hearts. And as we wrap up, I just want to thank everyone listening.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the CIS society movement.